Hebrews chapter 1. There's no way that God has stopped speaking. I think we've just stopped hearing. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So at different times and in different manners, different ways, God spoke to the nation of Israel, spoke to the world through prophets, didn't he? There's a large city named Nineveh, and God spoke to them, didn't he? Who did he use to speak to the Ninevites? Jonah. So God used different ways to speak to the world. Sometimes it was through a boat. That was a huge testimony that you better get in. Remember that when Noah's day. Matter of fact, he's called the preacher of righteousness. So he spoke unto the fathers of Israel, by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now, if I can just be real plain, God is not silent. He has spoken throughout all time. As a matter of fact, he's speaking right now. If you just go outside and you just look up at the stars, God is screaming, I'm here. In the beginning, it says that God said. So from the beginning, he started talking. In the Garden of Eden, he not only walked with Adam and Eve, he talked with them, didn't he? This was what made it a garden. It wasn't the flowers. It was the presence of Almighty God that walked with them and listened to them. God spoke throughout the Old Testament by the prophets. He spoke through the mouth of Jesus in John chapter 7. Some men were sent to go and trap Jesus in his words. And they came back to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they said, so, what happened? And those men said, never a man spake like this man. There's something different because God was speaking. Even now, everything in the universe is held together by the same voice that created it. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, says who, speaking of Jesus, he made the world, but being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, of God's person, and upholding, can we say, holding everything together by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God is not silent. But something is wrong with our ability to hear that voice. We read it this morning, but let's go to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28 and verse 27. Because even though Jesus had died, was buried, rose again, and had now ascended, he was still speaking to the world, now through Christians. Now through some simple carpenters and fishermen, sometimes through great intellectuals like the Apostle Paul, and yet the world wasn't listening. Acts chapter 28, verse 27, for the heart of this people, remember these words? Waxed, is waxed gross, is become hard, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Is God still trying to get our attention, trying to talk to the world? Yes. We're not hearing it. So how did we, or how are we becoming deaf to the voice of God? John chapter 10 now. Chapter 10 of the Gospel of John, verse 27. John chapter 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. Now I got to ask you this. Are you his sheep? Are you hearing his voice? That's scary. Sometimes we become deaf to the voice of God. How does it happen? You know, if you got saved, not because Pastor Craig told you to. You got saved because there was another voice that said, you better listen to Pastor Craig. You better listen to that soul winner. You better listen to your mom. You better listen to that Bible. There was another voice that was pulling you, compelling you to repent. You're not saved by the persuasion of a preacher. You're not saved through the ritual of a prayer. You're saved because you're responding to a heavenly calling that says, follow me. Come unto me, Jesus said. Are we listening? And it goes back to the heart. That, I just, the heart is a piece of communications equipment that we all have, but it's broken. It's faulty because of sin. It doesn't receive well. It doesn't work right. Okay? And Elijah, we're going to go and look at Elijah, who had a problem hearing from God. Elijah had problems with his receiver unit. God was talking, he just couldn't hear him. Maybe he, one of the greatest, all-time greatest prophets of the entire Bible, became unable to hear God. He became deaf to the words of God, even after some great, great spiritual victories. You know, the Lord plays it out in 1 Kings. If you'll take your Bible, go to 1 Kings chapter 19. And I pray that it becomes very apparent to us that maybe we might be going through the same thing as individuals or as families. 1 Kings chapter 19, when you found it, let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's kind of strange, but we're going to talk about one-way communication being changed into two-way. Well, we know how to talk. We've learned from an early age how to pray, how to go through all of the talking emotions. But we're not very good at hearing. We want to hear. We want to know when you're speaking. We want to respond to your call. We'll answer our stomach's call. We'll answer our friend's call, but we don't hear yours. Not regularly. Not easily. So, Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes, our minds, and our ears tonight to what you've got to say from your word. That, as Brother Dan already said over and over, may it just ring true. We need to be changed. We need not to go out of here deaf and unmoved. But that at the smallest whisper, we realize it's you. It's you. Please let us hear whatever you'd have to say tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, 1 Kings, I said 18, we're going to go to 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. How Elijah became unaware of the voice of God. I'm just going to give you 2 points. One is how Elijah became unaware of the voice of God and how he got it fixed. So let's look at these first 12 verses. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Were these good prophets or bad? Anybody know the story? These are bad prophets. These are what are called false prophets. And there are a lot of them still today. They were the popular guys. These were the ones who people, I mean talking the entire nation of Israel, loved to hear these prophets prophesy, even though they were all liars. They didn't care that they were lying. They tickled their ears. They made them feel good. They made them feel important. So they loved to listen to these false prophets. And Ahab says to his wife Jezebel and tells her all that Elijah had done and how he had slain all those wicked prophets with the sword. Verse 2. Then Jezebel, the meek, quiet, sweet woman she was, sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of those of them by tomorrow about this time. What's she doing? She's threatening him. She says, you're dead by tomorrow night. That's what she says. Verse 3. And when he saw that letter, he arose and he went for his what? He just took on, and I'm telling you, 850 false prophets. Now, they're probably the laziest, fattest, the most wimpiest guys you'd ever meet. Because when you can preach a false gospel, you don't have to work for it. You can actually just say the nicest things and the sweetest things and the repetitive things, and people will keep coming to listen to you. So I don't think he had to do too much to take care of 850 of them. But you've got to understand that he has just dealt with 850 battle situations and won, and yet he gets a letter and he's terrified. And he runs for his life. And he came to Beersheba, which is way down on the south of Israel, which belonged to Judah, and he left his servant there. He wants to be alone. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Eat some more. Arise, eat some more, because the journey is too great for thee. We've got a long way to go." So he arose and did eat and drink, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. What's another name for Horeb? Anybody know? Mount Sinai. All right, let's just look at some of these things that are just will jump out at you and stand up there. And we'll look at the rest of the verses in just a second. But how did Elijah become aware of the voice of God? You'll understand in a moment where I'm getting. He gets diverted. Who is he listening to? He's listening to Jezebel. Who did he hear tell him? If you know anything about your Bible, 1 Kings chapter 18, God said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Go and preach to that nation. Tell them they're in wicked sin. Tell them there'll be no more rain." He says, "Yes, sir." And he listened to God. And boy, there was nothing Elijah couldn't do. As a matter of fact, he's one of the greatest illustrations of prayer in the Bible. Because God said, "Pray, Elijah, and I won't let it rain." So he says, "Lord, don't let it rain." The Lord said, "Okay." And then Elijah's going 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, 7 months, 10 months, 1 year, 2 years. He says, "This is cool." The Lord says, "When you get ready, you can pray and I'll rain again." He says, "I'm holding out." And he waits 3.5 years and he prays again and it rains, doesn't it? This is the man who used to listen to God. Who is he listening to now? Jezebel. Do you know why we stop hearing God? Can I be real plain? Because we're listening to everything else. That may be profound to you. And I hope it is. Why am I not hearing from God? Why is it the pastor just doesn't move me? Why is it the Bible doesn't speak to me? Because you have spent 18, 20, 30 hours listening to some fools on television. And you think you're going to spend 10 minutes in the Bible and hear God? Amen. We get diverted. He listened to his enemies. And that's dumb. You better listen to the victor. Amen. Somebody threatens me, I can become all panic. And I can start to worry. I got to run. I got to hide. Where do I go? Help me, Nita. Protect me. I can worry, or I can say, "Hey, I ain't going until he's finished with me." Amen? He listened to his enemies, and then he listened to himself. What have we learned most about ourselves? We're our worst enemies. And he argues with God from the basis of, "Well, I've got it all figured out, God. Look at your Bible. Let's keep going." And an angel's been talking to him. But verse 9, he came thither into a cave and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, I'm sure he's been going over in his mind. He has prepared it like a political speech. I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You know what he's done for the last 40 days? Gone over and over those words so that if he ever got to tell God off, he'd do it. He listened to himself. Those aren't the words of somebody who's soft towards God. Those aren't the words of somebody who's looking for God's help. He's saying, God, do you even know what I've been through? Complaining. He got diverted. He became imbalanced. Now, we read it there in verse 4. He got imbalanced in his health. Did you know he forgot to rest? He's so tired that when he's walked that day's journey and he just sits down, he just collapses. He hasn't eaten. He hasn't slept. And the angel comes and it says he touches him. I think he kicks him, amen, to wake him up. And he gets him and he says, you got to eat. As soon as he eats, he goes right back to sleep. He has forgotten to rest. Do you know you need rest? Super spiritual people don't go 30 hours without sleep. Super spiritual people know they need to sleep. Amen? You've got to have a balance in your rest. There's nothing wrong with that. I think I told you the illustration was a long time ago of a preacher named Dwight Moody. And he had been invited to speak hours and hours and hours away. And so he took a train. And there was another young preacher who was going to be traveling with him. And they're getting ready to get on to the train. And Dwight Moody gets on a sleeper car. Paid the extra bit to go to sleep because it's going to be like 8 to 10 hour trip overnight. So he gets on that sleeper car. And the young preacher looks at him and says, Mr. Moody. He says, yes. He said, I'm getting on the coach car. I'm saving the Lord's money. And without batting an eye, Dwight L. Moody looked at him and he says, I'm saving the Lord's servant. Amen. Amen. Do you understand? You need to rest. You need to sometimes just say, you know what? Everybody else is staying up till 1 and 2 in the morning. Everybody else is missing the balance in life. Everybody else is out of whack with their sleeping habits. I'm going to get onto a routine so I sleep, so I can get up on Sunday morning and be in church fresh, so I can be work early on Monday morning fresh. I'm going to have some rest. You need rest. He forgot that. He became imbalanced in his health. He became imbalanced in his diet, in his eating. And he became imbalanced in his walk with God. Are these words from somebody who can sing, I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses. Remember the last? And he walks with me and he talks with me. Listen to these words. Let me find it here. I have been very jealous for the Lord God, verse 10, of hosts. Can you put that? I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel. No, listen to his attitude. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take me away. He has no walk with God at this point. Do you understand? He got into a huge battle in 1 Kings chapter 18. And it's been 2 days, 3 days, how many days? 40 some odd days. I don't think he's talked to God in 40 some odd days. I don't think he's prayed. I don't think he's bowed the knee. I don't think he's praised God. I don't think he's had 1 second in his walk with God. He's just a walking bad attitude. He's imbalanced. Amen? It's as imbalanced as you would be if you didn't eat for a week. He's as imbalanced as you would be if you didn't sleep for a week. You'd be worthless, wouldn't you? And in his perceptions. Do you know what's funny? He says everything is ruined. He says they're all dead back there. They hate you. They killed all your prophets, and I'm the only one left. And all they want to do is kill me. You know what? Something's messed up. Okay? Because he's wrong on all accounts. He forgets that back there at that mount, we don't have time to look at chapters 18, but at that mount, his prayer for God to show himself mighty got the entire nation of Israel to say, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." They got right for a little while. But he's like acting like, nothing's working. His own perceptions are out of balance. Hey, next time you are finishing up a spiritual battle, don't forget to rest. Don't forget to keep praying. Don't forget to prepare for the next battle. We'll talk about that in a minute. Thirdly, he ignored God's goodness. Look there in verse 5. Verse 5, as he lay and he slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals. He didn't have a McDonald's. You know, if he wanted to eat, he would have had to have carried flour with him, oil, egg, leaven, everything to make his own bread. But there was something already prepared for him. God took care of him, didn't he? You know, one of the surest ways you know that you are not hearing the voice of God is when you're not thanking God, even for the little things. He was blind to the fact that God was being very good to him. He ignored God's goodness. Even so, the food that he was eating was not like this food. I mean, if he ate one, how many days could you go? About an hour, amen. I mean, whatever he ate, God got him for the next 40 days taken care of. He didn't need anything else. God knows how to take care of his children, doesn't he? And yet, Elijah didn't see it. He ignored God's goodness. And he developed wrong expectations. Now, this is tough. He misunderstood two very big things. Look there again in 9. He came thither unto a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts." Who is he talking to? God. But he's talking like God's not there. He didn't say, "I've been very jealous for you, God." Does he say it like that? He's put God in the third person. You ever talk to somebody like that? Can you imagine me going, how do you do it? It's rude to talk about somebody right in front of you as if they're not there. Does that make sense? I don't know how to do it. All of a sudden, I drew a blank. Here is God speaking, not in person, but in audibly voice, and Elijah doesn't realize God's talking to him, and he begins to talk into the air, saying, "I have been very jealous for the Lord." He's talking to him. He's misunderstanding some things. Verse 11, God said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind." You ought to underline that. "And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire." Oh yeah, this is where he is. "But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire," that still small voice he heard back at the beginning. "And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wraps his face in his mantle. And he went out and stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him again and said, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?'" Do you see somebody who went, "I just heard the voice of God," or do you see somebody who just says, he's got this bad attitude, he's misunderstanding two things. First one, he thought God didn't know what was going on. He says, "Do you even realize I'm the last one?" Like God needs to know? You ever pray that way? "Dear God, do you realize what I'm going through down here?" You ever pray like that? I have. Amen. Elijah misunderstands that God, he thinks, "God, you don't know what's going on." He actually He felt that he had to fill God in on what's happening down here lately. God, you've been tuned to the wrong channel. He thought God didn't know what Elijah had been busy doing. He thought that God should know that his life was in danger. And he actually says, God, instead of her, why don't you just go ahead and kill me? You know what that actually speaks of? When you ask God to kill you, you know what you're saying to God? God, I hate you. I don't want to do your will anymore. I don't want to live here anymore. I don't like what you put me in. I really, just get it over with, God. Just go ahead and kill me. You don't love me anyway. That's his attitude. Now, aren't you amazed? Aren't you amazed? I am. That God kept talking to him. And Elijah, I mean, look, if you, how do I say this? If you ever get to a place in your Christian life where God does speak to you and convict you and draw you and guide you, you wouldn't trade it for life itself. You wouldn't trade it for anything this side of heaven. And to know when somebody's speaking that you're going, that's God talking to me. You'd be thrilled. But is Elijah? He's just, kill me now. He thought that God didn't realize what was going on, and he thought God would act differently. When the hurricane wind blows, he says, now that's my God. I want strength. I want power. The Lord's not in it. Then the earthquake. I mean, that's what we want, amen? I mean, we got a bully coming walking at us. We says, God, kill him now, please. Lightning. That's what we want. And when there's no, when there's nothing in the fire, nothing in the hurricane, nothing in the earthquake, we go, wait a minute. God, why aren't you there? The Lord says, I'm in the quiet. I'm just as powerful here as I would be there. Isn't that cool? In your prayer closet is the Almighty God who yearns to answer your prayer and meet your need just as if he was, you know, showing off like we want him to. That same desire to have him do great things, he can do in the quiet. I sure missed it. So in this whole thing, Elijah had truly become deaf. I mean, if you were watching this, if they ever could, and I know that Hollywood never could, if they ever could make a movie that really conveys the emotion and the events of the Bible, then if you could see Elijah as he struggled with this depression, this discouragement, if he struggled with this, with his deafness, you'd go, what a dummy. Doesn't he realize? But turn the picture back on us and realize, don't we realize? Elijah had truly become deaf and unimpressed with God's voice. We might do this, we might be doing the same thing where his still small voice is not impressive to us. It doesn't move us like it used to. It doesn't thrill us. It doesn't do anything for us. But aren't you glad God wasn't through with trying to get through to him? God shows how to repair your heart towards him. Still in chapter 19, verse 12. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, after those three different catastrophes, there was a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah had heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. He went out and stood in the entering into the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him again and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And Elijah's so stuck. I mean, it's like a broken record. You know what a broken record is, right? There's a scratch in the groove, and he just keeps going back and playing the same thing. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And aren't you glad the Lord keeps talking? And the Lord said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, I've got a job for you to do. I want you to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And guess what? Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be a prophet in thy room. I got some more stuff for you to do, Elijah. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet don't forget, Elijah, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, unto the devil, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Do you see what God just did and helped Elijah with? Let me go over here. First of all, if you want to repair your heart towards God, shut up and let him talk. Most of our prayer time is one-way communication, isn't it? Can I encourage you? I know it's not very good grammar. I know your parents told you never say this, but I'm the preacher. And the word is shut up. Shut your trap. What would be the Irish way? What'd you say? Shut your gob. Seriously, there is a time to pray and there is a time to just shut down and go, Lord, listen to Samuel say it. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. The Lord was so impressed with that, he said, Samuel, I got a job for you to do. Samuel became a great prophet, turned Israel back to God. Listen, quit squirming around, quit arguing. Quit listening to yourself and all your complaining. God's still small voice is not something that came from all sides, but was coming at him quietly from just one direction. This voice was like a whisper, a calm voice. Do you know God has never freaked out? He's never flustered. Oh, Dan, Dan, are you there, Dan? That's not how he talks. Help, Dan, I need your help. That's not how he talks. That may be how Pastor talks when I call him up. Amen? But God's voice is never flustered, never panicking. It's still, it's quiet. And if you want to hear it, you've got, it's kind of like when you heard a noise downstairs and it woke you up. Actually, you woke your wife up and she woke you up. Amen? That's how it normally is. And then you go, shh, and you don't even breathe because you want to hear it. Amen? But the still, small voice of God, you've got to be that interested, that tuned in. If you want to hear God speak to you, you've got to let words on a page jump out at you. As quiet as they may be, you've got to hear them at their volume. And listen to God, because he's speaking. Humble yourself there. When you are in his presence, believe me, did you know? When Moses went up to Mount Sinai, and here is Elijah up at the same mountain. Well, Moses got up there and a voice came out of a burning bush. What did the voice tell Moses to do? Take off his shoes. You're in the presence of the Holy One. Many years later, Joshua is getting ready to take Jericho. And as he's making all his plans, somebody comes through the bushes behind him. He draws his sword and he holds it up and he says, are you for us or for our enemies? And this being says, neither. I've come to take over. I'm the captain of the host. I'm the general of God's army. And you know what Joshua did? He took his shoes off. Because he was in the presence of what's called a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Before he came in the flesh, he's in the presence of the Almighty. Did you know where two or three are gathered together? The presence of the Almighty. Can he not speak out of a burning bush? Can he not speak before the darkest battle? Can he not speak in the time of fellowship of a church like this or in your closet? Can he not speak and be there and you realize I'm in his presence? When you are in that presence, will you learn to humble yourself? You know what? I don't know who's important to you. We can't say if Enda Kenny came in the room, we would all go, "Wow, Your Excellency." Because we wouldn't. But who would come into your life who you would just humble yourself and says, what can I do? When Jesus comes into our presence, can we not just humble ourselves and realize whatever He says, I want to hear? Humble yourself there. Listen to every word of God. Listen to His instructions here. He says there in verse 15, He says, "And the Lord said unto him," now Elijah in verse 14 repeats himself, he says, "They're going to kill me." In verse 15, God says, "You're going to head down to Damascus, and you're going to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And then you're going to put Jehu king over Israel. And then you're going to take that faithful man, Elisha, and you're going to put him in charge of your ministry." And you know, what if Elijah went, wait, "Lord, were you talking to me? Did I just miss something?" My point being this, he had specific instructions for Elijah, didn't he? Pay attention to every word he says. Did you know, in church, you've got just a little bit of time where I have done my best to try to give something for you to hear. Don't just go, "What's he up there for?" Well, you're not ever finished early. You might miss something very important, amen? It might be the only thing you'll hear this week that'll get you through this week. Listen to every word. When you've got, "I've only got 10 minutes, I'm going to read one chapter." Pay attention to every word. You say, "Well, I'm reading 10 chapters." Good. You may not understand what you're reading, but pay attention. Elijah needed to pay attention to those instructions, because if you follow the life of Elijah, he struggles with these instructions. That's another message. My mom taught me this, and maybe your mom did too. She said, "Do a lot more listening than talking." Did you ever hear that? Well, let me tell you. Do a lot more listening than talking, even in prayer. Yes, tell God, cast all your care upon Him. Bring every burden. Tell Him everything's on your heart. And then go, "You know what, Lord? I've been doing a lot of talking. What would you like to say?" It might surprise you, especially when we have the Lord's Supper. It might surprise you what sins He reminds you of. "You know, well, Lord, I didn't want to talk about that." Listen. And then look at this. Answer Him back. I think this is so cool. If I were God, I wouldn't care what you think. Amen? If I were God, I'm being honest. If I were God Almighty, why would I ask your opinion? And yet, God comes along like a great counselor. Here's a man, I'm putting it Dan. Here's a man who's very depressed, very discouraged, wants to die. And he says, "Dan, why are you here?" And Dan says, "I've been very jealous. I've done my best. And what has it got me? They want to kill me. I'm the last one. And I just want to die." One says, "Did you get enough rest? Did you get enough to eat? Wasn't that a good meal? So, why are you here?" And he goes over it again. And he's, and the Lord says, "Dan," I'm talking to Dan now, "Dan, you're not going to die. It's going to be okay. I got so much more for you to do." What did he ask of Dan to do? Not just sit there and listen to a lecture, but he wanted Dan to talk back to him. He wanted Dan to get it all out and just how he felt. God didn't get mad at Dan. I'm pointing at Dan. I got to change that now. God didn't get mad at Elijah. I need Weston back over here in the front because I miss using Weston. God didn't give out to Elijah for going through and saying all those things. Amen? So when God is listening, say what needs to be said and realize He'll just come alongside and He says, "It's going to be okay." Aren't you glad God can put up with us and can overlook all our bad attacks and then answer Him back? Let me run through this. Prepare for the next battle. And there were, we read it there. He's got jobs for Him to do. He's got things for Him to do, and they weren't going to be easy, and Elijah's going to find them hard. Thankfully, he had Elisha there who was going to help him. But But you know what, God, to repair your heart isn't just so that you sit back and go, I have a happy heart now. Oh, I've got such a good life. That's not why God keeps working on us. It's to prepare us for the next place of service, for the next battle, for the next job to do. Amen? That's how God prepares our heart. Because He has a purpose for a Christian whose heart is in tune with God. The reason why He wants us to hear Him is because He's trying to send us. He's trying to use us. He's trying. I want Him to bless. Don't you want God's blessings? But more than anything, I want to be used. I want to be somebody that God can trust to do what He needs done. Because that's where the joy is. Happy are you if you do these things. I get more joy out of giving than getting. Don't you? All right. Conclusion. How do we miss the voice of God? We have too many diversions, too many things that get our attitude. We don't get any time with God. If I asked you, how many minutes did you pray this week? I bet you could only, you might only have it under an hour, half an hour, 10 minutes the whole week. And you say, well, I just don't hear from God. You answered your own question. Too many diversions. Imbalances. You know, your schedule's all out of whack. Your diet's out of whack. Your relationships are out of balance. No wonder God can't get through. You're just wore out. How about getting a balance? How about shutting off that idiot box and going to bed early tonight? How about doing that on Saturday night? How about doing that every night and saying, Lord, the last thing I'm going to do is talk with You. The first thing I'm going to do is talk with You. I am not going to let anything divert my attention. I'm not going to let things imbalance me anymore. And I'm definitely going to not forget Your benefits. I'll be very aware of the little things that God does for me without even... You know, the Lord answers prayers you haven't asked. That blows me away. Don't have the wrong expectations of God. Don't expect Him to be somewhere else or doing something else than you expect. Because He might just show up right where you're at. Just say, Lily, how you doing? Well, you know, I'm fed up with this. The Lord should know. It's true. You know what that is? It's wrong expectations. It's thinking, God, listen, you need to get something fixed up there. Your secretarial staff is all messed up. They're not handling these issues. From now on, when God sees things silent, shut up. Sit still and listen. Pull your Bible out. Force yourself. I'm serious. Force yourself to shut everything off. Don't allow any interruptions. And get you 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 chapters. Let it just do a good wash through you. Let it just speak to you. And I guarantee you, if you go looking for God to speak, He'll say something. You ask me to preach, and I'll preach. Amen. And if you ask God to speak, it may just be one word, and it will carry you for a day, a week, a month. You need that word. Humble yourself as you listen, which means, yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Listen to every word, because you might be reading along and the Lord might actually give you some instructions. Amen? And then answer Him back. Talk to Him. No problem with telling Him how you feel. No problem how you tell Him what you need. Sometimes He wants to know, are you listening? You know, in any communication, you got the husband and wife. What does the wife need? Confirmation. Are you listening to me? And it's very important to respond back, Lord, I am listening. Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. You know, that'll prepare you for the next battle. When God seems silent, realize it's sort of a lull. I need to get ready for the next fight. You have no idea what's coming. You don't know how long it's going to be. But don't get all upset. I think being in the battle on the winning side is the best thing ever. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer.